Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Good morning. How are we feeling this morning? Good? What? Yes. It's awesome. It's a holiday weekend, right? For some of us, maybe. For some of us. But give it up for Brian, right? One more time. Let's do that. You know, we make it a big deal. I tell you why. Selfishly, I make it a big deal because, I was in the Gulf War in 1990. Came to the States in 1992. And the reason I actually was able to get here because I was because Kuwait was liberated by Marines. And so I'm forever grateful the fact that they've sacrificed so much and that I could be here. So I'm glad. And I like it here. I like it here. Can't lie, I like it here. Hey, want to shout out to Metro as well. What's up? What's up? What's up? I believe they got JJ Red Hots, like a hot dog kind of a food truck situation going on. By the way, we don't get one of those. What's wrong with that? We got like popsicles. We got gypped this time, friends. We got gypped, just to let you know. So I'm headed there after this. But hey, glad you're joining us, live stream audience. Love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. So last week, though, I rolled up and I had these on, I rolled up. I left with this, I guess. Like the last talk I did last week, we kicked off the series called Voices, and we're talking about this idea of who are you listening to. And so as I ended, I put these on, and these represented basically a negative narrative that some of us might be listening to our whole lives, and that last week we talked about removing those. Because the truth is that the voice in our lives somehow can determine the worth of our lives at some point. And in fact, I believe that the voices in our lives actually echo our lives. So in one sense, our lives echo the loudest voices in your life. And so whatever that voice is, your life begins to shape itself to that. You become the echo. For some of us, we're living a life, and the truth is, it's because of the voices, the stories, the things, the words, the phrases people have used on us, for us, with us, and we're just shaping our lives from that. It becomes self-fulfilling prophecies. And for some of us, the loudest voice is actually us. It's not negative, but it is what it is, and we have to stop that. And so this series is really about listening to God's voice, but it's not going to be like a conversation that maybe you've heard before, like if like 10 steps to this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. I'm going to give you some points because I've realized that people, you need a point for a message. I mean, not all my messages can be pointless. Right? Some of them have to make sense. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But this morning, if I can give you a big idea, the big picture this morning is really about, not about removing these, because I'm hoping that these were removed last week. This morning is really about clearing out your ears that you can hear a particular voice that I want to call the voice in the wilderness. Can you say it with me? The voice in the wilderness. You're thinking, well, I just want to know what God's will is. Like, well, that's wonderful, and good luck with that. But I want to talk to you about the idea of what does it mean to step towards the voice of the wilderness? What is a voice in the wilderness? Is there a voice in the wilderness? Is there a particular voice that's calling you out to something more than you're comfortable with? And I think at some point we have to realize that the voice of the wilderness is actually the one who created us. It's a voice that you don't necessarily hear with your ears, but you hear with your soul. You begin to see with your spirit that there's something moving you in a particular direction. And for some of us, we've heard that, we are ignoring it, because it's scary. It's in the wild, and the wild represents no order. It represents a little bit of chaos. It represents ambiguity. It represents a lot of things that we do not like. I mean, there's a reason we like to live in suburbs and the cities. Can I get an amen? We do. No one's living in the jungle, right? We go camping, which is ridiculous, by the way. It is, especially from a guy who grew up in a third world country. My whole life, I've been trying to get in a house. Why would I leave and sleep outside? Anywho, but maybe some of you don't understand that. It's for all first world problems. We're so bored with luxury. We want to go outside and sleep in the tent. Whatever, man. Our people, my people, don't camp. Anyway, where was I? This was about something else. Sorry. The wild. So what does it look like? So what I did was I actually brought some Q-tips. Are you familiar with this? Some of you really need to be familiar with this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually pass these out. And you're going to stick this in your ear. Right? And, okay, now if you're weirded out by this, don't look. But you can't help it, can you? Can't help it. You know what you won't be able to help? Look, is when I pull it out. Right? How many of you are okay with, like, if I could just get a volunteer, you come out here, and I'll just put this in your ear, and we'll just kind of do a little thing and take it out. Who's comfortable with that? No one? Yeah. So let's see what happens here. Should I move it around? Oh, you're like, please don't. Some of you are like, can you hear it? Hey, look at this. You know why it's clear? First of all, I knew I was doing this, and I pressure wash these things, so it's all good. You can see right through. Yeah, so this morning, I want you to clear out that you can actually hear your ear or your soul, your spirit, or your mind, so you can actually hear the voice of God. And the voice of God, I believe, is the voice in the wilderness. And what I want to do is I actually want to talk about this passage of scripture. I'm going to do kind of a Bible study. So what I mean by that is like I'm going to go to one passage. We're going to stay in one passage, and we're going to go kind of verse by verse through it and talk about what is the voice of God look like, but in particular, how can it be this voice in the wilderness? Now I will tell you this just to set up this idea is that for some of us, we don't realize that we do this when it comes to hearing God, but we really like God being extremely clear, right? We want that, and God never promised that He was going to be that. It's so hard because sometimes His voice is not clear. Sometimes His voice is uncertain. It's so tough because I should probably say that I know the voice of God. I mean, I've got some really crazy stories around my life, and I can just tell you right now, I don't know what He sounds like. I don't. I know for some of you, you're like, oh, that's really helpful. That's great. I don't, because you know, sometimes the voice of God sounds like me. Sounds exactly like me. Sometimes the voice of God sounds like my wife, which I don't appreciate. Sometimes, right? Sometimes the voice of God is actually an actor or an actress in a movie that I've been watching, and all of a sudden I have this moment where all of a sudden I've left the movie and God's saying, this is for you. And I was like, what are we doing here? I paid good money for this. What are we doing? And then you just hear something, you see something, and then it speaks to you. You've had those experiences. So I think we need to be comfortable with the idea that maybe, just maybe, we might not need to know what He sounds like. You know, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, if you know that passage, and my sheep know my voice. We've lost the translation of that, that the meaning behind that is not like, oh, we know what He sounds like. So here's what I want to throw out to you. You don't need to know what God sounds like. And you're not going to know what the voice in the wilderness sounds like. But I can tell you, I know what it calls me to. The voice always calls me to something. We focus on sounding. What does it sound like? No, it's actually, what is it calling us to? And that requires a lot more energy. I'm going through this book right now by Christina Cleveland. She talks about this idea of what separates people, groups. And she's talking, obviously, about race issues, and she's talking about different issues in our society, but in particularly in the church. She's talking about how how we are the body of Christ. There are churches, you've been to different churches, but we all seem to be segregated. We all have our own kind of flavor, and then we just really love that flavor, and then we judge other people's flavor, right? But it's just different flavor. But she began talking about this idea of cognitive energy. Can you say that? Cognitive energy. I don't know if you've ever heard this term, but basically it's the energy that you use to understand someone who's not like you, who has a different language, who has a different set of ideas and values, people who are just not like you. You know, when I thought about cognitive energy, I thought about my mom. So my mom is a Pakistani woman, immigrant. She moved here. She doesn't speak English that well, but she has taught herself. She's gone to adult English speaking classes just to understand. She started going to English speaking classes when she was in her 50s. I mean, this woman has tried so much to connect to her grandkids. She's tried so many ways, and she's always putting a lot of energy. There's about 30 words she knows in the English language, okay? And if you speak to her, she can get by. You can get by. But then if you start having a conversation, it's really hard. And sometimes it's tough. Like, I've talked to some people who've talked to her, and they're like, oh, man, I'm trying so hard. You're like, oh. And I've even seen people talk to her, and all of a sudden it starts to what are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, my gosh, what are you saying? And then she goes from like, oh, no, I don't know how to say this word. And she just kind of makes up a thing. And I don't know if you're bilingual. If you're bilingual, you know this. If you don't know words, you start acting it out. You really do. You just start acting it out, you know? And I sometimes do. I lose a word and I start acting it out. You've seen me do this live here. But she talks about the fact that sometimes, it's not that people are prejudiced or biased, and that's why they don't like people from different parts of the world or people who are not like us. She actually makes a case that people are just lazy. It's just easier to hang with people who are just like you. Isn't that true, though? It's so true. Have you ever talked to someone and you're like, I love them because they're so easy? I mean, you know what I'm saying. With Mosaic, I have to clarify every time. But no, they're just easy to get along with. They're just easy. You're like, oh, I clicked. Where have you been all my life? Oh, my gosh. And then there are some people, you're like, oh, gosh. There are moments of silence. You're like, and the weather. Have you met someone and you've talked to them for 3 hours, and after that, you want to go just conquer the world? Other people, you've talked to them for 2 minutes, and what do you want to do? You want to take a lot of pills. You want to take a nap. You're like, oh my gosh, why am I so tired? Oh, it's just cognitive energy, the amount you're spending on that interaction. I think honestly, some of us, it's not like you're not spiritual and you don't love Jesus, and you don't love God. You're here, Memorial Day weekend. I mean, maybe it's because the weather's terrible. If the weather wasn't that great, you're here. But maybe you're not connecting and hearing God, not because you're not super spiritual, it's just because you're lazy. I know you don't want to hear it. It's true. I mean, it is for me. I just don't want to put the energy. And besides, he's invisible. He does thoughts that are not my thoughts. He speaks Aramaic. I don't even know what that is. Does he? I'm not quite sure. And some of us live our entire lives not hearing the voice of God because we just don't want to put the energy towards it. We just think it should be easy. Friends, it's never easy. This is a deep, fulfilling relationship. And all deep, fulfilling relationships are what? They're not easy. They're not easy. So let's talk about this voice in the wilderness. this voice of God calling us out into the wild. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. So if you got your Bible, phone, iPad, whatever, we'll put it up from the screen for you as well. Matthew, this is the story of a guy who was actually known as the voice in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist, and Matthew writes about him. He says this: in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. So he goes into the wild and he begins preaching. This is his message, he says. His message was, repent for your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 3, the prophet Isaiah, so Matthew says, hey, by the way, the prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. Now, this is a prophet who's talking about John. John's actually doing this, and here's a guy who grew up with Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. They knew each other of each other, and John early on knew that he was called to do something very important in his lifetime, and it was to prepare people for what Jesus was going to do. But here we find that John the Baptist is actually the voice in the wilderness. So people are talking, hey, what's going on around town? Yada, yada, yada. Hey, have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy in the wilderness, man? He's this guy who lives in the wilderness, and he's got this message. And his whole idea is repent of your sins and repent of your sins. I don't even know why he's talking about that. Now, we have seen some of those signs, right? In the street, people have had signs up, right? Have you ever seen a sign that says repent? We live in the South, people. There are a lot of signs about that. Right? Repent, repent. Repent actually meant something very odd to the Jewish ear at that time, by the way. Just wanted to let you know. We'll get to that a little bit later. So here he is. He's preparing the way. What does these few verses tell us about the voice in the wilderness? Number one, here's what it says. So 5 points. Number one is this. The voice always calls you to leave normal. It always calls you to leave what is normal. And see, for some of us, we don't realize this, and maybe we haven't been told this, but when following Jesus actually means that you leave. Like, think about it, right? Following Jesus actually means you leave. You can't stay and follow Jesus. But it's easier to, that message is so much easier. Just stay where you are and follow Jesus. But when you read the scriptures and you read the people that God has used, read the men and women who've done and stepped into some powerful moments with God and have changed not just their lives but generations, they've always left. They've always left home. They've always left normal. Abraham, what happens? Right? I'm going to make you a father of many nations, right? Great. I'm so old. That's great. I can't. And the first thing God says is, I want you to what? Leave. What do we really need to leave? Why can't you just bless me here? Leave. 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 Every time, leave. Leave. Even Jesus' disciples, hey, leave, follow me. Leave, drop what you're doing, follow me. I think sometimes you don't realize that the voice of God actually requires you to change location. So recently, I've seen this ad, I think you've seen it. But it annoys me a little bit, okay? It annoys me. A lot of ads, well, not a lot of ads annoy me, but this one annoys me. I'll tell you for why. Do you remember back in the day, about 10 years ago, okay, there was this popular ad by Verizon, right? It was this guy. What do you would say? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That was so popular. Churches did messages about it. It was a great one about prayer. Can you hear me now? I did a whole series about can you hear me now? It was awesome. It was great, all that. And basically what Verizon was saying is, with us, location does not matter. We got coverage. We got coverage. They don't got coverage. Who's got coverage? We got, I mean, they had the whole thing, right? Now the same dude showing up for Sprint. I have totally lost credibility with him. I mean, I just don't, you know, about him. I just don't believe him anymore. I don't. I'm like, I used to believe you. Now I don't believe you. You've changed sides. You've changed it. What happened, man? What happened? Well, here's the problem. The problem is that that's a lie when it comes to location. Location always matters. It always, always matters. It just does. Now, what's interesting about when it comes to God, though, that your location and that the fact that God's that your location does not matter in one sense when it comes to God's love, His faithfulness, and His grace. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. His grace will get to you. His grace, His love will reach you. His hand is not too short, as Scripture says. But location does matter if you want to hear from Him. It just does. So what the question is, what does it mean for you to leave normal to hear God? See, for some of us, the voice is calling us to leave, in one sense, like the normal way of doing things, the normal way of your daily routine, the normal way of just interacting with people and your schedule, normal way. And if you don't leave normal, you won't ever get into the wild, and you'll never really clearly hear Him. You have to actually move to hear Him. You have to. And what that means really is, honestly, is normal is status quo. Normal is what everybody else does. Normal is just the way life goes and the way it is. But life with Him is never normal. In fact, some of you need to just write this down. Leave normal, go with crazy. In fact, you could just make a sign. Left normal, gone with crazy. That needs to be your thing. Because that's the only way that you can move closer, in fact, to God. God's idea living, in speaking to your life, is never to domesticate you. It's actually to make you go wild. Because He knows if you go wild and live fully alive, then there's something. Then there's something. But never, never domesticated. It's society that wants you to do that. It's never the Spirit of God. So, number two is this, that His voice, I don't know what it sounds like, but His voice always calls you apart. It calls you to be apart. Apart, set apart, it calls you. In a culture that we're in right now, it calls us to stand out. Right? Man, you got to stand out. That's the key to branding, people. You got to stand out. You got to stand out. People have got to be talking to you. But with this voice, it always calls you not to stand out, just to stand out, but to actually be set apart. And here, verse 4, it says this. John's clothes were woven from coarse animal hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist for food, he ate locusts and wild honey. I'm just fascinated. Why in the world did Matthew write that down? Right? Like, because it seems like he just stood out. I mean, apparently, if you just look at this description, John was a hipster before it was cool. I mean, he was like, I don't know, like farm to fork, like big time. Right? The boy's been clean juicing it forever. Whole 30 all day long, every day. That's all he's eating. We sometimes tend to do that because it's the thing to do. This guy was living life on purpose. There was a purpose to the way he actually lived his life. It was not to stand out, but to be set apart. He didn't dress like this and walk around town. Where was he? In the wilderness. See, for so many of us, this is how you know the difference between standing out and being set apart. When you're set apart, it doesn't matter who's looking. It's like the wild goat. No one's talking about it in the wilderness. But I don't know about you, but me, I wanna stand out. I wanna dress like that and then walk around town. What's interesting is the word holy in the scriptures is the word kadosh. Can you say that? Kadosh means to be set apart. So when we think of the word holy, you might think of other images, but the scriptures talk about being set apart. The voice calls you to be set apart. What would it look like? What were your relationships? What would your life look like if you decided, I don't need to stand out, I just need to be set apart? I think for some of us, it's reordering some of our values. The voice is talking about your values and what is and how they're connected to everyone else's values. You are just going with the flow here. And God's saying, I need you to be set apart. Third, I would say that this voice draws others to you. It just does. The voice in the wilderness always draws others to you. Verse 5, it says here, people from Jerusalem and all over Judea and all over the Jordan River went down to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. What's interesting is that when you begin living a life in the wild, if you begin living the life committed to knowing and following God's voice, this voice in the wilderness, people will just be drawn to you. And there are two kinds of people that will be drawn to you. People who are your, I call them your fans, right? And your followers, and then you'll have critics. Every time. You'll have like, I wrote down in my notes, I put clients and critics just so I could remember it. But you have people who are like all about you, all about what you're doing and want to be inspired by you. And they're the ones who are coming down like John and getting baptized. They're confessing their sins. They're moving towards a very different direction. By the way, I just want you to know this. This whole idea of getting baptized and confessing your sins, this was odd. This was extremely odd because they didn't need to do this. Now, I'll talk about this in just the next verse. But this whole idea of him baptizing people in the Jewish faith was really strange. You didn't need to do that anymore. It was just weird. But they were people who were followers of John. They were like, I want to do what you're doing. What's interesting is when you begin living the life, being led by this voice in the wilderness, others will be drawn to you. But also critics. And unfortunately, here's the deal. In the moments like this, when you follow God and you follow the voice in the wilderness, you'll actually have family members who become the worst critics. And you'll have strangers who become the most family to you. It is the reality of following Jesus. It is just going to happen. And I'm sorry, no one told you. It just is. And the people who should be the most happy for you are the most critical about you. And they just don't get it, and you're overreacting. And the people who you did not know, you share the most beautiful moments with them. And your courageous moments are actually with strangers. It is the saddest thing, but it is the price we pay to be led into the wild. What does it look like for you? I know this, that some of us don't realize that our obedience, our life is drawing people. Good way or bad way, it's drawing people to reconsider who they are. It is just true. You know, I'm fascinated by John because nowhere in the scriptures is John's dad mentioned. Let me just tell you, John's dad, John the Baptist's dad, I think his name is Zedekiah. Zechariah. This guy was actually a Jewish priest from the tribe of Levi, meaning he was a very religious, traditional Jewish man and a spiritual leader. I wonder the conversation, how it went down when John's like, so dad, I'm leaving, I'm going to the desert, and I'm actually preparing a way for a Messiah, and that will stop and forever finish the old covenant. That your whole life of like being a religious guy and priest is over. And I know I don't have many followers, but I'm going to go in the desert and I'm going to preach a new message. How did that happen? Well, how did that relationship go down? How did that conversation take place? You're doing what? Yeah. I'm basically going to preach a message that your whole religious system is done. Love you, Dad. I wonder if that's one of the reasons, I'm not sure, that he's never mentioned. Because John's message was so set him so apart. So apart. We'll keep going. This is a very depressing message. Okay. So, point four. The voice will always demand. It will demand authenticity. The voice. I don't know how it sounds like, guys, but I'll tell you what. If it bugs you to the point of, oh my gosh, I don't like this level of real. How many of you have been ever like had a moment where you're like, I don't like this level of real? Anybody? I don't like this. It's yeek. I don't want to do this. It always will demand authenticity. Here's a couple of passages. Let me read this to you because this is probably the most important part of John's whole spiel, monologue. Verse 7, he starts off, Matthew writes this, and he says, but when he, this is John, saw that among all the other people who were coming to be baptized, there were actually Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. You brood of snakes. Wow. Okay. Who warned you to flee this coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe because we're descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. Whoa. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Okay, dude. Wow, that honey and locust is not happening. You haven't had carbs for days. That makes anybody annoyed, right? Okay. And he keeps on going. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever roots from the trees. What? Yes, every tree that does not bear fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. Wow, hold on. He says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and he is ready to separate the chaff from the trees with his willowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing floor, I don't even know what this means, okay, gathering up the wheat into his barn, and by burning the chaff will never-ending fire. What is he saying? And to us, we're like, I don't even know what he's saying. To the people over there, what is he saying? You know what he's saying? To the Jewish mind, he's blowing their minds. What he's basically saying is this. You remember growing up? Remember the Old Testament? Because I don't know if you guys know this, but the Bible is the Old Testament and the what? New Testament, right? We took the Old Testament from the Jewish people. You know that, right? We stole it. Anyway, so we took it and put it together, and we're like, this is our deal. The Old Testament, the message was God had a chosen people. Anybody want to know? Take a wild guess who it was. Jewish people, chosen people. They believed growing up that they were born into salvation. So when John's walking around going, repent, he's like, they're like, from what? We haven't sinned. What are you talking about? So John is now clearing away. He's saying God is doing a new thing. When he talks about the axe poised to cut down the root, he's talking about generational tradition of religion that these guys grew up believing. They believed in the Old Testament. They believed in the Old Covenant, which was what? Number one people are who? Jewish people. It's all about them. God chose them. God doesn't like anybody else. And guess what? God only judges you by what? The fact that you are Jewish. It's Jewish and Gentiles. Basically Jewish and everybody else. John comes in and goes, hey, that's done. And they're like, oh no. Because they thought, no, God just judges me by the covenant that I grew up in, Abraham's covenant. I'm good. And he's saying, you brood of vipers. This is not happening anymore. I'm sorry to tell you, it's over. I'm actually preparing the way of a person who's going to come, and guess how he's going to baptize you? With fire. And what, you know what fire does? It burns off all the things. It burns off everything that's not pure. And he says, The voice of God calls us to live a very authentic life. This was mind-boggling to them. Mind-boggling to them. You see, the voice of God always calls you to live a very, very authentic life. The question is, it's going to take a lot of fire for us to actually get there. Will we be able to step into it? We'll be. If you begin living a life of hypocrisy, it is definitely not the voice of God. And then, this is what's profound. Last point is this. The voice of the wilderness will always ask you to be more. Will always ask you to be more than you ever thought you could be. Now, so I've read the passage. I haven't changed anything. I'm just going to go. I just stopped at verse 12. I'm going to move to verse 13. Here's what happened. Then Matthew writes, he says this. He starts with, then. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But then Jesus said, it will be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So, the music I met threw me off a little bit. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. I don't know if you know what just happened here. So here you got this guy talking about all of these things. John the Baptist is doing this. And then there's a moment where while in the midst of all of this, you got Jesus comes up and John baptizes God, the God who actually created him. It was like this moment where the voice of God said, I need you to be more. It is the most fascinating thought here that you've got the guy who leans into being the voice in the wilderness, who moves into actually going to the wild and actually living the life that God's called him to live. The voice in the wilderness starts off by actually creating or allowing us to hear a voice from heaven. And so when God says, I want you to be more, it might be that God's saying, I need you to go in the wild. I need you to hear the voice in the wilderness, because from someone else, it will open up heaven for them. And this is now John saying, I feel so weird doing this, but I'm going to do this. And heaven opens up. I wonder what hangs in the balance in your life. Will you hear and heed the voice in the wilderness? And what would it open up for others? I think for some of us, that is the question. God wants you to be more than you thought you were or are. He's calling you to be more. And for some of you, it's going to require more faith than you thought you had. Faith to believe and trust that when you do this, it's going to happen. I think in particular, I'll just say this in particular for some of you, it's your finances. I just felt this morning. For some of you, it's your finances. And if you will move in that direction, if you will have faith and stick to being generous or just be that person who's not controlled with fear, I'm going to tell you, God's going to open up some stuff for you. And your voice this morning is really about, hey, I need you to have more faith about this. I think for some of us, you need to have more courage. Not faith to believe, no, courage. That you need to have this conversation. You need to be faithful. You need to do this. And you're not being courageous right now. And it's okay. We've all been there. I get it. But you do not want to allow the voice of fear and the voice of doubt leading your life or teaching your kids. You do not want that voice. And so for you, for them, So hope for heaven to be open for them. You have to. You have to. You must. Be more. Be more. And others of you, you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful. You want to quit because you're just in a crippling season. You feel just handicapped and crippled, and you don't even know and can't explain it to others. And you just need to be faithful. And all that means is just stay. Just sit in the process God has for you. Don't try to work it. Just sit. Just be faithful. It's going to take more than you ever thought, because you want to move. You want to go. But he's calling you to be more. So I want to pray for you. What is the voice calling you to do? What is that voice in the wilderness? What is the wild to you? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for our lives, God. Thank you for who you are and what you're about. Thank you that you know us. So God, as we respond this morning, as we go receive communion, as we light a candle, as we just sit in this space, allow us to know, God, that you are with us, that you brought us here this weekend just for this. God, I pray that we would all be faithful more than we have been, that we would be faith-filled more than we've ever been, that we would be courageous and brave more than we've ever been, and we would listen and be led by the voice in the wilderness, calling us to more and out of what we were into who we could become. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.